This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. I'm Derek Gilbert. Please remember to subscribe to our new channel at Rumble, rumble.com/SkywatchTV. All new video content going over to Rumble. All of our video archives available at skywatchtv.com or through our mobile app. And we'll tell you more about how to get the mobile app and bypass the gatekeepers of big tech toward the end of this program. Topic number 5 today, Insurrection Day. That's what the media and politicians have been calling the riot at the Capitol on January 6th. Tucker Carlson of Fox News talked about this last week, Tuesday and Thursday, and he opened a can of worms. He asked what role the FBI might have had in the Capitol riot. Cases of over 400 individuals who've been arrested in connection with the riot now making their way through the courts, and investigators trying to figure out what the connections are between these rioters. So on Tuesday, Carlson, referencing an investigative article at Revolver News, asked whether FBI agents might have been involved in infiltrating some of the right-wing groups who showed up at the Capitol on January 6th, empowered the more extreme members of that group, and were in effect responsible for instigating the riot. As you might imagine, in response, social media, Twitter especially, just freaked out. There are two possible reasons for the intense response from social media. Number one, Tucker Carlson has lost it and is broadcasting irresponsible, unfounded accusations, which is the gist of most of the response that he got on social media. Or number two, the deep state and its operatives are working overtime to keep this idea out of the minds of the general public. Now, this after Carlson last Tuesday calmly asked for the answers to the following questions. Number one, how many of the so-called insurrectionists on January 6th had a relationship with the FBI? How many FBI moles encouraged others that day to break the law at the Capitol? Number two, if the Justice Department knew there were going to be protesters massing at the Capitol that day, and it's clear that they did know, then why didn't they do anything to stop the riot? Why did police at the Capitol allow the protesters to walk in, as video shows that they did? And question three, why can't we see the tape for ourselves? The government is hiding more than 14,000 hours of video surveillance tape that shows exactly what happened at the Capitol that day. Why are they hiding it? Why aren't there news organizations demanding to see it? Reasonable questions. Now, if the answer to that first question, how many insurrectionists had relationships with the FBI, if the answer to that question is none, then Carlson said he and his team would happily admit that they were wrong and publicly apologize. But if the answer is not none, then America has a serious problem, because it suggests that the so-called insurrection, January 6th, was either planned or allowed for political purposes. And to that end, we note that the FBI is warning lawmakers that the followers of QAnon may carry out acts of violence as they move from serving as digital soldiers to taking action in the real world. According to an unclassified FBI report, a warning sent to lawmakers in Washington last week, the shift fueled by a belief that among some of them that they can no longer trust the plan laid out by the mysterious founder and leader of the group, known only as Q. Again, this unclassified threat assessment sent to lawmakers last week, obtained and now disseminated by CNN. Not surprisingly. Topic number four, Israel, Iran, and Biden. Last Monday, Biden administration officials told reporters unofficially that the president intends to appoint Hadi Amir, his assistant secretary of state for Israel and the Palestinians, to serve as U.S. consul general to the Palestinians in Jerusalem. That's a big deal, because to deploy Amir to Jerusalem, the administration needs to open a consulate in Jerusalem. We used to have one there, but it was closed in 2018 when President Trump finally acted on the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1996. Uh-huh. Yeah. What, 22 years later? And moved the embassy to Jerusalem. The embassy now is housed in what used to be the consulate. So the Biden administration would need to get permission from Israel to open a new consulate there and to accredit the head of mission. This sends a clear message from the Biden administration that they support a divided Jerusalem. And Amir, by the way, no friend of Israel. Before joining the administration, he was a fellow at the Brookings Institution, whose largest foreign donor is the government of Qatar. In fact, Amir was the founding director of the Brookings Institution office in Doha, Qatar, wrote and spoke in favor of legitimizing the Muslim Brotherhood, and advocated that the U.S. work to integrate Hamas into the Palestine Liberation Organization. Speaking of Qatar and Hamas, by the way, a senior Hamas official said in January that Qatar would be sending $30 million a month to the group that controls the Gaza enclave. And so far, since 2012, according to the Qatari foreign minister, they've put about $1.4 billion into Gaza. Meanwhile, Iran announced the results of its election for new president over the weekend, kind of an ominous signal, actually. Ebrahim Raisi earned the nickname the Hangman of Tehran back in the 1980s for his work on the infamous death committees in the capital city there. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett described Raisi's election as a final wake-up call for world powers before returning to a nuclear agreement with Tehran. Bennett made the comment Sunday at his first open cabinet meeting since swearing in the new coalition in Jerusalem last week. Topic number three, bank cryptos, cryptocurrencies, that is. The rise of private cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum have motivated central banks around the world, including the Federal Reserve Bank, to consider a digital currency to be used alongside paper currency. Here in the U.S., the idea of a digital currency run by the Federal Reserve Bank was unthinkable just a few years ago, but it's gaining popularity inside Congress. Supporters as diverse as Senator Elizabeth Warren, who's about as left-wing as you can get, and conservative Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. They both like the idea that this might have benefits for consumers who don't have bank accounts. They would carry a digital wallet instead. This would be a fiat cryptocurrency backed by nothing, just like the U.S. dollar. Just full faith and credit of the United States government. The reason that central banks are looking at this was the scare that Facebook put into them a couple of years ago when it wanted to launch its own private cryptocurrency and attracted some pretty big backers. Suddenly, bankers and governments around the world realized that we were on the verge of seeing a private currency outside the control of banks and governments. And neither government officials nor bankers really want to see that happen. And so, central banks like the Fed, looking into this, there are some who believe that we will see central bank digital currencies by 2024 or 2025. Once in place, governments can use this to eliminate cash and eliminate financial privacy. Every transaction in a digital currency run by the government would be tracked by the government. Why is this going to happen? I mean, a lot of us don't like this idea, but the Chinese Central Bank, as we've been telling you, is pushing forward with this idea in China, and it looks like the European Central Bank will do this if the Fed doesn't. What happens after that? Anyone's guess, but it's coming. Topic number two, the Abrahamic House. That's the name of a new multi-faith complex coming to Abu Dhabi, the capital city of the United Arab Emirates. Names of the three houses of worship as part of this complex, the Imam El Tayyib Mosque, St. Francis Church, and the Moses Ben Maimon Synagogue. Church naming is a direct reference to Pope Francis, by the way, who visited Abu Dhabi just a couple of years ago. This project will include a cultural center to encourage worshipers to visit, learn, and engage in dialogue. We're all in favor of engaging in dialogue. As followers of Jesus Christ, we realize we cannot share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ without, you know, talking to people. But if the point of this multi-faith complex is an ecumenical movement to try to merge all of the Abrahamic faiths into one, we'll just have to watch what's being taught at this new multi-faith complex in Abu Dhabi. Coming up, billionaires in space. And there are some who want them to stay there. That's next on 5 and 10.
In Strauss and Howe's The Fourth Turning Vision, a deal with the devil ultimately includes the arrival of an unexpected national leader who would emerge during the current fourth turning. Now, this guy would come from an older generation, and he would lead the globe into a new world order. which they envisioned developing by the year 2025. This senior citizen, this oldest American president, this commander, whom they called the Gray Champion, and who some of us might worry could either be, or more likely pave the way for, Antichrist, would come to power as a result of the nation losing faith in existing government and desperate for a political savior to arrive and calm nerves by offering to build back better a socialist governance with welfare for the masses. This leadership, they saw, would seize what could only be described as a cancel culture crusade, warm to promulgating Oceania-like suppression of unapproved dialogue, in order to rein in any and all challenges to the new social construct.
RISE 2021, a virtual conference with 50 hours of world-class presentations on theology, prophecy, archaeology, geopolitics. Sign up now at defenderconference.com.
Item number one today, billionaires in space, or at least one in particular. This would be Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon.com. He's set to ride his own new Shepard rocket into space next month, along with his brother Mark Bezos and an unidentified passenger who's paying $28 million for the privilege of riding along. But there are petitions now circulating suggesting that once Bezos and his crew reach orbit, they should be forced to stay there. Change.org hosting a petition that says, quote, billionaires should not exist on Earth or in space, but should they decide the latter, in other words, should they decide to go to space, they should stay there. So far, 26,000 signatures on that one. Another Change.org petition, 18,500 signatures, reads, quote, Jeff Bezos is actually Lex Luthor, disguised as the supposed owner of a super successful online retail store. However, he's actually an evil overlord bent on global domination, end quote. Well, I've been telling you, those Ring devices and Alexa and with all the cameras. Yeah, global surveillance, if nothing else. Well, our special offer on the five-volume Researcher's Library of Ancient Texts continues, but just for a limited time. Normally, these are $30 a piece. Valuable additions to your reference library. For a limited time, your donation of just $75 plus shipping and handling will bring all five volumes to you. The Apocrypha, the Writings of the Apostolic Fathers, the Septuagint, the Reformers, and the Preachers of the Great Awakenings. Again, valuable reference information. And in hard copy, just in case that web ever does go down, you'll have the paper copies as backup. Take advantage of this offer. Find out more online, skywatchtvstore.com, skywatchtvstore.com, or 844-750-4985. RISE 2021, our virtual conference, kicked off Friday at midnight. Thankfully, blessedly few reports of problems logging in, a few here and there. I am the de facto IT department here at Skywatch TV, and was expecting an email to go out to all of the subscribers to the conference. Obviously, I misread the instructions at the hosting company because I didn't get my email, so I'm sure you didn't get yours either. But the conference is online now through September 18th, 50 hours of presentations, brand new content this year from best-selling authors like Pastor Carl Gallup's, Joel Richardson, Mark Biltz, and others. Tom Horn's two-hour mind-blowing presentation on the secret destiny of America, which Josh Peck has turned into a standalone documentary. Plus, the best of last year's Stand 2020 virtual conference. Again, all of these available through September 18th. If you have not yet registered, there is still time to do it and take advantage of this cutting-edge information. I watched Dr. Judd Burton's presentation last night on Göbekli Tepe and the Watchers. Secular researchers call this the oldest religious complex in the world. Judd and his colleague, Dr. Aaron Judkins, agree. They've got a forthcoming book on this, but they connect it to the Watchers and the rebellion of Mount Hermon. Fascinating stuff. Don't miss it. DefenderConference.com. DefenderConference.com. Our tour of Israel for 2021, still scheduled for October 3rd through 18th. Sharon and I honored to lead the SkyWatch TV tour again this year with our colleagues from SkyWatch TV, Donna Howell and Ali Henson, and our good friend Messianic Rabbi Zev Porad. This will be a unique tour that shows you sites that just aren't on other tours, like Joshua's Altar, Gilgal Rephaim, and the newly recognized Serpent Mound of Bashan, among other sites. And of course, all of the important sites that you want to see from biblical history: Bethel, Shiloh, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and more. You can find a sample itinerary online, get an idea of what we'll see over the two-week tour, and a breakdown of costs. And if you're going to sign up, take advantage of the three-day optional extension over to Jordan, where we will see what Moses saw from Mount Nebo. We'll explain why it is called the Mountain of the Avarim. In English, that would be Mountain of the Travelers, as in those that cross over. And we don't mean cross over the Jordan River. Significant stuff, both historically and prophetically, regarding the end times, plus Petra, which is a bucket list item. Find out more online, skywatchinisrael.com, skywatchinisrael.com. This week on SkyWatch TV, we continue our four-week series about the award-winning documentary film Silent Cry. Josh Peck, the filmmaker, recipient of three Telly Awards for 2021. The broadcast schedule for our over-the-air program each week is posted at skywatchtv.com/channels, but you'll also find that you can have us broadcast whenever you click the remote by adding the SkyWatch TV app to Roku or Apple TV, or by downloading our free mobile app to your smartphone or tablet. Not only get you all of our video content, but important news and our upcoming events, a schedule of upcoming events. This app is good for iOS and Android phones and tablets and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets. And you'll find the link to those app stores at skywatchtv.com, top menu bar where it says mobile app. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.